As I said, most of us here tonight are familiar with this story of Job and how that God has used this story of Job to be an encouragement to many people who are facing problems and issues and troubles in their life. And we know by the study of the book of Job that he lost the people on his farm. He lost his servants. I believe that Job was a good man, and I believe he cared for the people who worked for him. He was an upright man, the Bible said. And so I believe he was good to the people that worked for him, but he lost the people on his farm. They sent him word that the people who had cultivated the ground and worked for him and helped him make a good living were all gone. He lost the people on his farm, but he also lost the possession of his flocks, his way of income, his prosperity. And unless he had been to the sale that morning and sold a bunch of livestock, everything he had was taken away from him. His prosperity was gone. Not only lost the people on his farm, the possession of his flocks, but he lost his precious family. His wife was still there, and I know people have given Job's wife a hard time. I believe Job's wife loved him so much, and she hated to see him suffer like he was suffering. And I believe that she just said, why don't you just curse God and die? She didn't want to see him suffer anymore. I believe that. So, but he did lose 7 sons and 3 daughters were gone all at one time. He not only lost the possession of his flocks, but he lost the precious family. He lost the purity of his flesh. His physical health was gone. He was stricken with the boils. And I no doubt there'd be people here tonight, if they could, they'd give anything to be in the house of God. But physically, they're just not able to be here. And they would love to be in church. They would love to be in the house of God. Many of them are limited to where they can go and what they can do. Many of them are bedridden and would love to be in church tonight. But he lost the purity of his flesh. And he lost the partnership of his friends, Zophar and Bildad and Eliphaz, accused him of having sin in his life. And you and I need to be real careful when somebody's going through something in a trial that we don't understand, and we, the first thing people do, they say, well, I wonder what he did wrong. Every one of us, we have a tendency, and I believe that is nothing more than demonic attack to get us critical of one another and trying to survey somebody else's life. We need to be real careful when we get judgmental. I believe what we call spiritual discernment today a lot of times is nothing more than just being critical about somebody's situation. But they said, surely there's got to be something wrong in your life, Job, because these things would not have happened had there not been something wrong in your life. And no doubt, some of these things, I've seen people that some of these issues have hit their life, and we wonder, well, you know, how do they keep going? How do they keep serving God? And the things that happened to Job, I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you, all these things that happened to him, you wonder how he ever just kept going and why he didn't give up. I mean, listen, bombarded. I mean, I'm talking about one tragedy right after another, bam, bam. I mean, in his life. And here's this man, and he's serving God, and he's trying to do something for God. And we better be careful when people go through things that we don't understand. But how terrible these things, and I'll get to the message in a minute, but how terrible these things were that happened to Job in his life. He was hit by every angle, everything bad that could happen seemingly happened to him. I said all that to say this. We've seen people who have been stricken maybe with their health or had something happen in their family or maybe had their prosperity taken away from them and went from being wealthy to being at the very bottom. And we've seen people who've lost loved ones and things of that nature. And you and I, we've been in places, I preach funerals, where I've literally seen the grace of God. I mean, listen, I have seen God's grace minister to a mom and dad. I've seen God's grace minister to siblings who've lost a brother or sister. I've seen that happen. And thank God for that. And thank God for his presence to minister to us in times of sorrow and in sickness. But here in Job's life, I believe the worst thing that happened to him was he had lost the presence of his heavenly Father. Now see, you and I, we go through things and God's been there for us, but for some reason in Job 23, God hath withdrawn himself. Job said here, he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Now, can you imagine facing all these things alone? Now, we know that Job was not alone. We know God was there. But Job could not feel the presence of God. And I appreciate what's been sung tonight. And I appreciate what's been said tonight. I appreciate the fact that I've got a God that I can feel. Now, I don't feel him all the time. And I don't all the time feel saved. But we've got a God that we can feel. And I tell you, God's just given me a heart. I like going to meeting, and I love shouting, and I love praising God. I get into it. But every time I see somebody up praising God, every time I see an individual in the glory, I think about the people that were there in the service, saved by the grace of God, would give anything to feel the presence of God. But for some reason or the other, they think that God hath withdrawn from them and has left them alone, and God does not care about them anymore. And Job is saying, hey, I've lost everything. I've lost everything that meant something to me. But the most important thing I believe he lost was the presence of his heavenly Father. He lost everything. And now you and I know how this thing ends up. And we know what happens on the end of the road. We know what happens on down the road in Job. And we know how God blessed Job. But Job could not see that. And it would have been very easy when Job could not feel God's presence anymore. He could not feel the hand of God in his life. Maybe felt like, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you let this happen? But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, until I see you again. He said, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He said, he hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. I will preach tonight on what to do until you see him again. What to do until you see him again. Now listen, I've seen God work in my life. Now let me say, I don't have to go back 15 years. I don't remember when God done a work in my life. God's done a work in my life tonight. God's done a work in my heart tonight. And I'm telling you, there's been times, and I'm going to be very transparent with you, there's been times in my life where I've got in the pulpit and I did not feel God. There's been times in my life when I went to the house of God and I could not feel the presence of God, but I went to church just because it's what you're supposed to do. And I read my Bible because that's what I was supposed to do. And I prayed because that's what I was supposed to do. Now I found out in my life that God will sometimes withdraw himself from you and to let you realize that he is God, that he does know best, that he can see down the road, and we do walk by faith and not by sight. And so you may be here tonight and say, I can't feel God. I don't know where God is. I'm telling you, when you first get saved, you don't think you're ever going to sin again. You don't think you're ever going to have no problems again. Buddy, I tell you what, when the slack comes out of the chain and you realize that you still got a sin nature and you realize that you really gonna not, you're not going to all time feel like you felt on the day you got saved, and you realize you walk by faith and not by sight, there's going to be a tendency in your life to kind of get lackadaisical and say, well, I don't care about this thing anymore. I can't feel God anymore. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't need this message tonight, you'll need it one of these days, amen, if you've ever been saved. Because God will withdraw himself, and there's some things that Job did until he found God again, until he felt the presence of God again, until he knew what God was doing. He did some things in the text tonight. I want you to look first of all in verse number 10. The first thing Job did is Job confided in God's wisdom. The Bible said in verse number 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, you know, the songwriter had it right when he said, further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Because listen, I'm going to say something tonight. I've been saved for 15 years. There's some things that I do not understand. Now listen, I can understand it. I understand God. God would be very just to have left me alone. And I don't understand why God come to me and drew me and saved me by his grace and let me preach the word of God. I don't understand that. I can understand God leaving me alone. I can understand God killing me before I ever got saved because of how I treated him and how I disgraced him and how I spurned the grace of God and the Holy Ghost. I can understand why God would give up on somebody like me. But I would tell you what, since I've been saved, there's some things happen I don't understand. I can understand the wicked heathen maybe getting cancer. And I can understand somebody that curses God, never wants anything to do with God. I can understand some bad things happening to them. But I will tell you, these things that's happened since I've been saved by the grace of God that I have not understood. I've thought in my mind, why did this happen to this saint of God? Why did this happen to this deacon? I mean, the man serving God. He's behind the man of God. Why did this happen? Why did she get cancer? Why did this happen to this family? And there's some things that's going to happen to us in our life that we just cannot understand. I was up in Maryland preaching a meeting, and when you get phone calls real early in the morning, it's usually never a good thing. And I was up there, and the phone rang. It was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I answered the phone. I didn't recognize the number, When I picked up the phone, it was a mama on the other end of the phone, and I couldn't even understand what she was saying. She was saying, "Randy!" She was screaming. And I was like, "Who is this?" She told me her name. She said, "Randy, they just called me from the sheriff's office." And she called her daughter's name. She said, "Jessica's just been killed in a car wreck." And I mean, I'm not talking about a woman that's out walking the streets. I'm not talking about a woman that just pitched a drunk the night before. I'm talking about a woman in the house of God, serving God, her and her husband. I'm talking about a woman that run a bus route. I'm talking about a woman that loved children and tried to get them to the house of God and was faithful. And she just screaming, "Randy, why? And I mean, here I am, and you know, you hear a preacher say, cheer up, everything's going to be all right. God will be there for you. Just put on a smile and carry on. That's easy to say. That's a real easy comment to say. But buddy, when you got somebody on the other line that's just lost their only child, I mean a beautiful young lady that's her life has been taken away, and mama was saying, "Randy, why? Just tell me why, Randy. Why did God do this to me?" And I said, "Tina, I don't know. I mean, what do you say?" I said, "I do not know." And she said, "We've been talking," said, "Would you help with the funeral?" And I said, "I will. I'll do anything I can." Man, I thought in my mind, what in the world do you say to a mama that's going through something like that? What can you say? Now, I remember I was driving back up to Jasper, and man, I went to the funeral home. It was awful. And I was in there, and I mean, listen, she couldn't understand why, and her husband couldn't understand why, and people in the church is asking why. Man, I come through those curves coming back from Jasper, and I was trying to pray, "God, what would you have me to say tomorrow? Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know." About that time, I started thinking, man, if you'd walked up to Job and said, "Job, why is your children gone?" You know what he said? He said, "I don't know. Job, why did God let this happen to your prosperity? You went from being the most wealthy man in town to the poorest man in town. Why did it?" Job said, "I don't know. Job, why did God let this happen to your farm? I don't know. Job, why did God let this happen to you? I don't know." But I'm going to tell you what got Job through. It was not what he did not know. It was what he did know. And the next morning I said, "Tina, it's not what's going to get you through. It ain't what you don't know. It is what you do know." Amen. Here's what Job said. He said, "But he knoweth the way that I take." But I don't know some things. But I tell you, I do know some things. I know I'm saved tonight. I know Jesus come to where I was. I know he's made life worth living. I know tonight that he is worth serving. I know that his grace is real. I know his grace still saves. I know his spirit does dwell within. I tell you what helped Job. Job looked at some things that he did know. Job 19:21, he said, "Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh?" Verse 23, here's what he said. "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Look up in here. There's 42 wishes of Job. He said, "Oh, that the things I'm going through, would they just be written down? And God, I don't understand why you're doing this, but maybe one of these days you'll let me write it down and preserve it so some mom and daddy can go through the same thing and realize that God does know what you're going through." He said that they were graven in an iron pen. Verse 25, he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." He said, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He said, "I can't see him now, and I can't feel him now, but you mark her down, there will be a day that I will see him again. And there will be a day that I will behold his face. I can't feel him now, but there is a day of coming." He said, "Praise God, this ain't all he is to him. I'm glad tonight there's going to be one day where we get a last sad phone call. We'll make a last trip to the hospital. We'll make a last trip down to the funeral home. We're going to look at our last x-ray, get our sad cancer report. We'll get our last bad report from the doctor. Praise God, this ain't all there is to it." Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you,
Psalm 139 verse 1 said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my past and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. He said, for there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Let me say this, when you can't see the light, he's still the light. Amen. When you cannot bear it, he'll bear you. Amen. When you can't take another step, he'll be your means of spiritual transportation. Every tear you've shed, you know God knows, God, according to the word of God, he's got all of our tears in a bottle. And God knows every burden that you bear, and every trial you've endured, every valley that you went through, every mountain that you've had to climb. Hey, listen, praise God. He knows what's going on in your life. People say, you ought not question God. I point them to the Bible and say, well, Jesus did. Amen. Amen. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I know he's fulfilling prophecy of Psalm 22. I understand that, and I know that. But aren't you glad tonight? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job said, I wish I had somebody, a daysman, that could close up that chasm between me and God. But I'm telling you what, tonight we've got somebody, and his name is Jesus. And they sing that song, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. You may not can feel him, but that don't mean he's gone anywhere. I'm going to tell you, when he saves you, praise God, he comes to stay forever and ever. Amen. I'm talking about what to do when you can't find God and you can't feel him. He just confided in God's wisdom. It ain't what we don't know. It is what we do know that's going to get us through. He confided in God's wisdom. When Job got done, and God answered Job out of the whirlwind, Job 42:2, he said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He confided in God's wisdom. Look at verse 11 again. He continued in the way. The Bible said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Verse 11, he said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Now, I really feel like God touched my heart. I bet I got to watch that. I believe God touched my heart tonight about preaching this message. I believe he did. And I thought, man, that song come into my mind. I'm not going to walk away. I've got too much at stake. He said, I've gone too far to turn back now. Now, here's what the devil will do. The devil will say, now, if you wasn't doing this, and if you didn't hold it so tight, or if you didn't believe this way, you'd be accepted a little more. Or you wouldn't be going through these things if you wasn't a member of this church. Or if you didn't hold it so tight, you wouldn't have so many problems. Why don't you just ease up a little bit? I tell you what Job said. Job said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I can't feel him. I don't know where he's at, but I know where he was. He said, I remember when, and then listen, we know they were justified by faith in the Old Testament, amen. He said, I remember where I was when God come to me, and I remember how real he was then. And I can't feel him now, but I remember one day I did feel him. And he said, I'll tell you what I have done. I look back across here. You see all this land, God give it to me. He said, the Lord giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the house of God one more time. I'm going to read the word of God one more time. I'm going to keep praying one more time. Because it worked then and it'll still work now. He said, I'm going to continue in the way. You know what? I never get tired of hearing the old story. I thought about this. Praise God, preacher, there ain't no doubt. You can preach the gospel better than I can. I believe Brother Massengale's a better preacher than I am. I believe there's many, many preachers that'll preach a lot better gospel than I will. But praise God, listen, as far as style, I believe they can preach it better than I can, but they won't preach a better gospel than I can. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what. It got me saved by the grace of God. Hey, I tell you what, it did the job for me. I ain't going the way when they say, well, if you just leave a couple of things alone, if you just water it down just a little bit. Hey, I tell you what, I've learned some things. I've learned in 15 years that the gospel still works, that the old time way is the right way. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you know what Job could have done? Job could have said, well, look at my friends. Look what they did. I mean, his running buddies, Zophar and Bildad and Eliphaz, I mean, listen, they did not do right. His friends didn't do right. His friends didn't act right. And you know what Job could have done? Job could have said, well, my friends didn't do right, and they ain't acting right. But I'm going to say, just because Job's friends didn't do right does not mean he wasn't in the right way. I've been disappointed since I've been saved. I've seen people I put confidence in. I'm talking about preachers, men of God, people in the house of God, men and women who I thought knew God, turned their back on God. And I've seen them not do right. And I'm going to tell you what, we get to looking at people and we'll say, well, if this was the right way, then what happened to them? But it don't matter if the whole outfit folds under. And God forbid if something was to happen up here at this church. I'm going to tell you what, by the good grace of God, I'm going to keep going this way. And I'm going to keep headed that way. I'm going to continue in the old time way. And I'm going to tell you what, Job said, I got started right. And he said, I'm going to end right. I tell you, don't give up. Keep going. You know what? You can reevaluate your ideology without changing the theology. You know that? And all change is not progress, and not all progress has to be changed. But I don't ever get tired of hearing the old story. I never get tired of the old time way. Hey, listen, it's the gospel that saved. Hey, and listen, all these new things, and again, you know, I say this, the way's always been right. It doesn't matter who goes this way. It don't matter who goes contemporary. It don't matter who goes switches Bibles. I mean, listen, we ought to be affected by that. But I'm going to tell you what, if the whole outfit folds and the whole outfit ain't real, God's still real. And he's still worth serving. And I'll tell you what, he said, I'm going to continue in this way. I thought about 2 Timothy in chapter number 3 when the Apostle Paul was giving Timothy his final exhortations. He said, Timothy, he said, I'm going to warn you about some things that are going to happen here in the last days. He said, and Timothy, he said, I want you to understand this, that there's going to be a day when evil seducers shall wax worse and worse. He said, I want you to know there's going to come a day when men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy. And I mean, he goes down through these terrible things of the enemies of the truth. He said, without natural affections, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, he said, there's going to be some things happen here, Timothy. And I tell you what, I believe the reason he's writing this is because Timothy would have a temptation to think, well, if I'm right, then why are all these things happening? And if I'm right, and this other crowd, they've got 1,500 people over here, they don't ever have no problems, never have no issues. Every one of them's healthy. And we all got a handful of people over here, and half the people's sick, the other half people think they're sick, and the other half people sick of me. Amen. I mean, listen. They wonder, why in the world will we keep going this way? I believe he's writing this to let Timothy know that there's going to be a temptation, Timothy, for you to give up. But he said in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, you continue in the things which thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. He said, your grandmother and your mama, Timothy, they were right when they told you that Jesus saved. And didn't he save you? Timothy, your grandma and your mama was right when they told you that Jesus really was the Messiah, that he really is the Savior, that he really does ever live to make intercession for you. And Timothy, this thing is real. And don't pay attention and don't follow this crowd that's going to have a form of godliness. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned from a child. But I'm going to tell you what. And listen, I know that my grandmother, she wasn't probably not the most intelligent person in the world, but she knew God. Buddy, I remember when I was a boy, my grandmother would sit me down and she'd tell me the old story, how a Savior came from glory. And she'd say, Brother Randy, Randy, now it's time to listen to Brother Mays and Brother Edgar and Oliver B. Green. But I tell you what, I remember when, as a child, she'd sit me down. We'd listen to those preachers. Buddy, she'd have a hickory in one hand and a Bible in the other. Amen. And she's working both of them. And she'd say, now you be still. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm glad there wasn't no fire alarm back in. She'd set them off, amen, in the house. She said, listen to the man of God. Then she'd take me down to the prayer closet in the corn crib where she spent time with God. And she put her them old arthritis hands on me and said, Lord, I want you to bless Randy. Lord, I want you to save Randy. Lord, I want you to do something in my grandboy's life. I can take you to the place where God spoke to me, put me under Holy Ghost conviction, and reminded me of my grandmother's God, and reminded me of old time religion. And buddy, I got saved by the grace of God because of what my grandmother put in me as from a child. Little did I know that God would save me and let me preach the gospel and let me be an old time Bible believing, full throttle, double dyed, 351 Cleveland, AKC registered, independent Baptist preacher. I didn't even think about that. Buddy, I tell you what, I never got over that as a child, and I hope I never get over it, amen, until the day I draw my last breath. Buddy, this is still the right way. We're still headed the same way. We still get the right salvation. We still got the right book. We still got the right praise. We still got the right worship. And I tell you what, Job said, I ain't a giving up. He said, I'm going to continue in this way that I started, amen. Some people might get wrong on the way. Praise God, the way is still right. I believe that. He continued in the way. Something else, he got comfort in God's word. Back in the text, in verse number 12. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment. He said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I tell you, you ain't all the time going to feel saved. You all the time ain't going to feel God. And the pastor done said it tonight. There's been times in my life where I've hung my hat on God as our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I've hung my hat on the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Man, I've been empty. And I said, God, you're going to restore my soul. And if you don't do it right now, I'm just going to read another chapter. I'm just going to pray another prayer. I'm going to go one more time. I'm going to keep preaching another message. I'm going to preach another book. I'm going to preach another man. I'm going to preach another line. I'm going to say another word. I'm going to pass out another gospel tract. I'm going to tell somebody else about Jesus. And before you know it, them feelings will start coming back. Do you know what God will do in our life? He'll get us to the place where this is the only thing we got. I believe that. He's given us the word of God. You know, Job didn't have a complete canon of scripture. You and I have got 66 books of the Bible that will help us through every trial, every temptation. Am I the only one that have had to look at those verses and said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and say, God, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. He was comforted in God's word. He committed it to God's will. Verse 13 said, but he is one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. You know what we say? You know what I say? God, why are you doing this to me? God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you let this happen to me? Why are you letting this happening to my family? Why did you do this to me? I was out west and praise God, you're talking about a dream come true. Now, it wouldn't have meant a whole lot to a lot of people, but I went out west to Montana and preached in three churches out there. And I was going to try to find a place out there that had a big Angus farm, and so I started looking around. I said, man, I'm going to be 15 minutes from one of the most famous Angus ranches that's ever been. And I said, I'm going to try to get in touch with them, see out there, and just go visit during the day. I called a man on the phone, and he answered, and I told him who I was, and obviously I don't talk like they talk out there. And he said, what are you doing out here? What's your business out here? And I said, sir, I'm what the media would call a right-wing zealot. The media would call me a right-wing zealot. He said, what are you talking about? I said, sir, I'm an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist preacher. And he said, oh, really? I said, yeah. And we talked a little bit. He said, you come out to my place. And so I went out, and a couple of days later, sit down in that man's house and talked about the Lord and the goodness of God. I'm talking about just God did it. We talked about the goodness of God and how the Lord had blessed them and about being saved. I mean, I'm talking about stuff that was wonderful. Well, his son came in, Lee, and we talked about different things. He said, well, let's go look at the cows. Now, brother, now listen here. I'm talking about an old tow-headed country boy. Here I am, we get in the vehicle, and we step out on this big cattle field. And I mean green grass. Glory to God, I feel God telling it, amen. Green grass, big snow-capped mountains, and some of the most beautiful black slick cows you've ever seen in your life. I just walked around. Now, that don't mean nothing to some of y'all, but some of y'all, it might mean something. And I was walking around, and man, I just think about the goodness of God. And me and his son, Lee, we just began weeping over the goodness of God. Now, I didn't know these people at all, at all. We were crying and weeping over the goodness of God. And I mean, God just manifested himself to us. He said, Randy, I'm going to tell you a story. He said, I had a child. This has been a while back. He said, we had a child. And we knew that when she was born, she was going to have some defects. And he said, sure enough, when she was born, and he was telling me this, just weeping over the goodness of God. He said, Randy, I walked around, right, when she was born, he said, I walked around for a month saying, God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you do this to me? I'm serving you. I love you. God, why did you do this to me? And he said, it's clear as a bell. He said, the Lord said, Lee, I'm not doing this to you. I'm doing this for you. Job said, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. He said, Randy, when I looked at it in that light, that he was not doing it to me, he was doing it for me. He said, it changed my whole life. He said, she has been the biggest blessing to our family. And God has taught me so many things about himself and about how a father cares for his child and show me the many pictures on how God cares for his children. Now, what we're guilty of doing, God, why did you let this happen to me? Job said, God, you're not doing it to me. You're doing it for me. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Commit it to God's will. Genesis 5:20, Joseph said, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Not, no doubt wasn't the path that Joseph had thought. No doubt, it's looking pretty bad down yonder when he's in the pit. God, why did you do this to me? And now he goes down to Potiphar's house and is totally innocent. And he gets accused of something he didn't do. God, why are you doing this to me? Now he's down yonder in the prison and he's forgotten. God, why are you doing this to me? But God the whole time was putting him in the palace. And I guarantee you, when they come to Joseph, now he's got the keys to the corn crib. And he's the one that's in charge of everything. He looked back on that pit and said, you know what? The pit wasn't that bad because God knew I was going to the palace. And Potiphar's house wasn't that bad because God was going to put me over here in the palace. And the prison wasn't that bad in light of the palace. I'm going to tell you what, God knows what he's doing. There's people in this building tonight, you can look back on your life and say, you know what? If God had not allowed that happen to me, God can take bad things. I heard a man get up and he was talking about it was God's will that this happened. A terrible, terrible atrocity. I mean, it was awful, wicked, ungodly. And he said, it's God's will that that happened. I thought, sir, you don't know God. But God can take bad things. God can take tragedy. God can take trouble. God can take bad things and turn them into good things. Buddy, I'll tell you what God can do. God can take a tragedy and turn it into a triumph. He can take a sorrow and turn it into something that'll help somebody else. You're here tonight. You know what? They're not going to call me and say, Brother Randy, I want you to help me because my mother's just passed away and you know what it feels like. My mom's still alive. But they, some of you here, you've lost a mom or a dad. You're the ones they're going to come to. You know what God uses every one of us who are saved by the grace of God? He uses us to help somebody else take another step, go another mile, and keep on serving God. Committed it to God's will. He confessed it as God's work. He said, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. You know what we'll do? Something happens to us. I some things y'all been through. Don't even, some little old things,
something happened to me. I have something happened to a cow or something happened to a tire or something like that, you know, and it's just, I'm like right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. You know, it's the worst thing in the world. Y'all been through a whole lot more than a lot of other folks. Some of you here has faced a lot of battles, faced a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations. But I found out even in the small things that's happened in my life, you know what it'll do? You'll be real slow to judge somebody else. You'll be real slow to say, if he is right with God, that wouldn't be happening. If she is right with the Lord, she wouldn't have got that report. I remember when I first got saved, I was up there shouting, praising God. Didn't know fetch from Sikkim. I just, wow, glory to God. Everybody else out there sitting. I said, what's wrong with y'all? What's the matter with y'all? And the Spirit of God said, because you don't know what those people are going through. And I'm going to tell you, we're in the building tonight for every shout, every glorious raising of the voice, and I love all that. My heart always goes out to the individual that give anything to just feel like serving God and feel like praising God. But there's some things in this Bible through Job's life that we can see. You say, I can't see him tonight. Praise God, keep looking. He'll be there in the morning. And if he ain't there in the morning, keep looking. He'll be there, amen. I'm talking about until you see him again.